Oh, gosh. You know, I love you all, but you sure do make me nervous. To remind you of what I said last week, it's not my goal to teach through a passage. I've done that before, and I like doing that, but I think my goal this morning more was to try and be an encouragement and a reminder. So I guess you could say by way of exhortation, but you know, I run, or I try to run, partly to stay in shape so I can run the marathon to raise money for Noe in October, and partly because I've grown to enjoy it, and it helps me stay in shape and keep my weight down, etc. But there are times of the year when I discover, I feel like I'm echoing there. I just lose motivation, and I can't put my finger on why or what causes that. And so it becomes harder than my memory remembers of, you know, to get out of bed, put on my stuff, and go. And so there are times when I just don't go. And maybe the winter has something to do with it, and the rain, and I tell myself I don't mind running in the rain, but I probably do. I mean, who likes wet feet and cold wet feet? But I know that if on the days that I do go, there's this time frame, and sometimes it's sooner and sometimes it takes longer, but sometimes, you know, half mile, a mile, 2 miles, somewhere I hit a stride where I'm enjoying myself. And I'm in it again. And I know that if I just make myself go, that will happen. But there are still days when I just lay in bed and my wife says, "Hey, are you going running this morning?" And I don't. And, you know, then later I'll be out driving, running errands, and I'll see some person running and they're really bright running gear, and I go, "Darn, I wish that was me this morning." And I'm thinking in related to life and how we relate to God and scriptures, that we operate similarly. You know, we have days, we have stretches in our life where we're really motivated and we're up, you know, whether we have our time with God early or in the afternoon with coffee or in the evening before we go to bed, but we're doing it, and we know that we benefit from it, and we learn more of the scriptures, and we feel that we're growing closer to God. And then there's periods in our life where we lose the motivation, and it's just tougher. But I believe that, similar to my running, if we just did it, if we just made ourselves do it, yeah, there'll be dry spells. I mean, I remember professors in Bible college saying they had dry patches, but they just persevere. And I know when I'm running the marathon, when I hit somewhere between miles 16, 18, and 20, I just want to quit. And I know it's going to happen, and it happens every year. And it's a mental battle, and I have to tough myself up or be prepared for that, so I will keep going. Now, I might walk for the next mile, but I'm moving. I might stop and stretch out some really sore muscles, and then I'll get moving again. But the goal is to finish, and to finish well, and I think that's our goal in life also. So Christmas has come and gone, and we're heading towards our new year. How's that looking for you? Did you enjoy 2018? I think we could say yes. Are you looking forward to 2019? I hope so. I don't know about you, but I'm already in September. I've got my pack on my back, my bow in my hand, and I'm in the mountains somewhere, and I'm bugling and hiking, and I'm looking for elk. And I can hear it, I can feel it, I can, I'm there, okay? But I love all those things, but most of all, I love doing it with people that I love. I've gone alone, and it's enjoyable, but it's amplified to go with people that I love. And I've gone with friends, some friends in this room I've gone with, my family members, my adult sons, my son-in-law, and my wife even came one time. and actually went for a hike cross country looking for, what are we looking for, dear? How come there are none out here? Kind of a thing. Anyways, it was a lot of fun. And so to me, being with them and experiencing that together is what makes it all the better. But you know, there's a lot of living to do between now and September, and if I'm not careful, I'll get one focused and I'll do as I think the Bible says I'm not to do, is I don't want to serve another master. I don't want to put something else in front of God. So how do I do that? How do I live a balanced life? Well, for me, spend time in God's Word. I love that God's Word is simple and it's direct and it can change people. It can change you from the inside out so that you can become a child of God. Romans 10, 9 through 14. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. John 1:1, opening line says, there was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. Not John 1:1, John 1, starting at verse 9. There was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So my question to you this morning, have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? Have you believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead? Have you received him? Are you a child of God? Because this is where it starts. This is where your life will change. And after this change, this believing, this becoming a child of God, what happens next? Spend time in God's Word. I also love that to hear good preaching, whether it be here from our pulpit, the gifted men that bring us the word on a regular basis, or whether it be men I hear on the radio, and or women sometimes. My wife listens to a lot of women's stuff, and she'll say, hey, you got to hear this, and so I'll listen to it. And they're good teachers, and I love hearing that and spending time in the Word. And the Bible encourages us to do that. 2 Timothy, it says, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of. This is the author writing to Timothy. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. If you ever meditate on that, it doesn't say so you'll be cool or so you'll be better than average. It says so you'll be adequate. But the following part helps me the most, equipped for every good work. I don't know how many times I've been in a conversation with somebody and, darn, I wished I would have thought of that. But I didn't. I was equipped, but you know, maybe if I had spent more time, I would be better equipped. Hebrews goes on to say, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." So how many times in the New Testament, I don't want you to like count them up, but remember the many times in the New Testament when Jesus perceived what was in the heart or thoughts of men, where the scripture says something about he perceiving what was in their hearts, and then they haven't even spoken. Okay? And he cuts right through the smoke and he gets to the heart of the matter. The writer of Hebrews says that the Word of God is living and active. John 1:1 says, Jesus is the Word. So it's good to stay in the Word. You're in the Word, you're actually in Jesus. And to meditate on the truth and to seek good teaching. And I want to encourage you to push up your motivation to keep going. If you are, keep going. If you're in a flat spot, keep going. Make it a priority, whether you do it in the morning or the afternoon or the evening. Spend time with God. You know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, doesn't matter. Keep going. Let it judge your thoughts and intents. Let it pierce and divide your thoughts, your soul, and your spirit. Let it do a work in your heart so you will grow closer to God. I also love that God's word is practical. My oldest son says I'm the most pragmatic person he has ever met, along with being just a little overboard in the literal department. But I love that God's word is practical. It's useful for daily living, and I can apply it to my life. It's not just some pie in the sky thing that I have to, that's vague. So, for example, a couple of my favorite verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If you know them, say them with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Or as the Good News translation says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and he will show you the right way. Okay, so are you not sure about something or someone? Do you need to make a decision about whether to sell your house or whether to go on vacation or where to go on vacation? Or should we, the people of Shepherd's Gate, continue to rent this place or look for another building or fill in the blank? How do we apply that verse to our situations? How do I stop myself? Well, first of all, how do I trust with all my heart? And then how do I stop myself from leaning on my own understanding, or as Philip says, relying what I think I know? You know, how quick we are to go, well, but it costs so much, or and we start listing all these reasons because we're relying on our own understanding. God says, don't do that. He says, trust in him with all your heart. Lean on him, okay? So sometimes to work out the truths of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I have to remember another scripture from Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Well, it's before 6. Again, I say rejoice. Well, that's that's kind of a command. Rejoice in the Lord always. It's something I need to make myself do sometimes. Let your gentleness be evident to all. That's a little tougher for me sometimes. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, or don't worry about things. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Or, I also like J.B. Phillips' translation, delight yourselves in God. Yes, find your joy in him at all times. Have a reputation for gentleness and never forget the nearness of your Lord. Don't worry over anything, whatever. Tell God every detail of your needs in earnest and thankful prayer, and the peace of God, which transcends human understanding, will keep constant guard over your hearts and minds as they rest in Christ Jesus. Amen. Or as I once heard a speaker say via a cassette tape, he said, tell God everything After all, he already knows your thoughts. And he got, and where did he get that from? He got that from reading the Bible in Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down. You are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. So if I tell God everything, then I'm beginning to trust in the Lord with all my heart. Remember, in the scripture, the heart is the seat of the emotions, not the intellect. The Bible does not say throw away your brains, but it does say trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding, which implies that we tend to do the very thing it tells us not to do. We tend to lean on our own understanding. And he says, don't do that. Trust in the Lord. So if I say to him, I don't get it, Lord, I don't understand, but you do, help me to trust you, then I'm attempting to practice what those verses say. Whether it be asking God to help me plan to go to the world race and raise money to pay the way, like someone in our congregation already did, or a plan of family vacation, that's an annual event. Do I bring that before him and lay that at his feet? Do I tell him in advance everything? So in those few verses that we read just a while ago, you have God's word piercing your heart. It's simple, it's direct, and you have practical application. And you don't need a preacher to explain it to you necessarily. Just read the word. Oh, and you've probably heard this before, but those verses don't say you will receive the request that you asked about. But it does say you'll receive the peace of God, which passes your understanding. And if you have God's peace, what else matters? You know, whether you get the request, whether the answer is yes or the answer is no, you'll have God's peace. Can't be better. So just remember, you lay things at his feet. He brings you his peace. When you leave the throne room and go about your daily life, just don't pick it all up again. Leave it there. Okay? So, lastly, I also love hearing stories and testimonies from God's people. And that's why I gave you homework last week. And if I was a professor, most of you flunked. Because I got very few responses. But, on the other hand, I had to balance that with many years ago, I used to coach volleyball at Multnomah, which was then Bible College, but it's now university. And in the summer, I would pray and ask God to bring to the school, to me, players that would be good, make a good team. And I was dependent upon him to bring them because the school had no athletic scholarships. There was no money. I even had a couple of players write me or call me and say, hey, can I have a scholarship? And, well, we don't have scholarships. You're coming here for Bible, and playing ball is extra on the side. So I had to rely upon God, and God, in my opinion, brought just the right people each year for that year's team and what we needed to grow and become. So I also believe that God brought to me the people that I needed to hear from, that I will read to you that you need to hear from. So you didn't flunk. You just, if God didn't prompt your heart and you didn't remember, that's okay. But I know where you live. Okay. So here are a few. So the question that I asked was, let's see, somebody put that all in their email to me. Since we began meeting a little over 4 years ago, how has God answered you when you made requests of him, whether it was with a blessing and a fulfillment of what you asked for or whether he said no? I also asked, how did that make a change, small or great, in your heart and life? And then I said, share what you prayed about, how it was answered, and how you think it made a change. So the first person that sent me an answer said that Greg Rolette said that God blessed him by assuring him of the salvation of his father before he passed away. This was an answer to many years of continual prayer. Leanne Rolette said that her prayers were answered, that was that realizing that God's daily faithfulness can change and use someone like me at this stage of life, and seeing how people our age are serving is exciting. Someone else sent me a text that said an answer to prayer was to have a particular person with us. They said, I think an answer to prayer is to have, and they named a person here in our body. And they were all blessed by their serving with us. And my take on that was, I would put all of your names there. We are blessed that you're here, that you're here, that you're here. That it's not just one person. But it is a blessing. God has that. I mean, we started meeting 4 years ago, and different people came, and different people have left. But you're here currently, and it's a blessing. Okay, now I need to get to the right page. So, Bill Barnes sent me this. He said, in early November, Laura and I went down to visit my family for a few days in Southern California. My mom had been diagnosed with early stages of dementia and possible Alzheimer's. We wanted to spend time with her while she was still herself and in possession of her faculties. There was also some related family issues which were becoming very pressing, and we hoped to provide some help working on them, specifically regarding care for my mom and in dealing with a particular troubling family member. There was a lot of smaller peripheral concerns which were also important. These things weighed heavily on me, and I sought the Lord's help fervently. I knew that I was completely dependent upon him for a huge provision of grace and wisdom and his own workings in all these things, and that is just what he did. I witnessed his answers to the petitions I had, and more fully and blessedly than I had ever hoped. It has left me with a profound experience of God's care and goodness, and has inspired me to seek him with this kind of fervor for other things in my life. Why do I not plead with him so earnestly for other problems I face? I think I certainly will. This other one's a little longer, but I think it's good. It's from Ron Johansson. He says, since we began meeting, oh, that's mine. As you remember, he said, it took Sandy and I several months to get our home ready for sale. We placed it on the market in June and July of 2018, and I was convinced that if we put it up for sale, God would bring a buyer. Ron had plans. He and I used to run together, and we talked a lot. And he had come to me, and it's several months ago, and he says, I'd like to volunteer our home for a small group. And I said, but you have it up for sale. How's that going to work? And he kind of, anyways, we went on to another subject. So they did have it up for sale. He says, reflecting on that time of transition, I believe God was protecting us from ourselves. We would have, quote, run away from commitments that I had made. First, I would not have had the privilege to meet Brother Dave King in the last few days that he had on this earth. We spent better than 2 hours talking and sharing about our kids, the life we shared with our special wives, and what we were looking forward to when we were forever in his presence. We worshiped in prayer and song. It was his grandson's 21st birthday. What a privilege to encourage him in his walk with the Lord. I was also tasked with fulfilling a commitment to serve as president of the Oregon Association of Independent Accountants. Through June 2019, this has laid on me the responsibility of planning and leading all the board meetings. I consider it a great honor to do so. We continue to begin with an invocation, that's at the beginning of each meeting, recognizing the King of Kings' leadership even of our secular professional business organization. God has blessed this organization this year with increased membership. Finally, the decision allowed us, Sandy and I, to step forward and offer our home to a new home group because it didn't sell. We look forward to growing in our understanding and wisdom in the Lord through this time of study and fellowship. We believe that God owns our house and can use it any way he sees fit. Although it has been many years since being a part of fellowship groups, we know that God has gifted us with hospitality. It is our humble prayer that he will use our willingness to advance his kingdom. He says, we strive to live obediently daily. We both seek his face through the daily reading of his word. Sometimes I it seems like I am always talking with him about something related to his word. On Christmas Eve, I was informed that the church in Alaska that had needed a pastor decided to offer another candidate the position. So Ron not only had put his house in the market, but was considering a job in Alaska as a pastor. So I'm thinking, how are you going to do a small group up there for us? And anyways, the church hired another person. He says, another closed door. Yet I was truly happy that they had found another shepherd. He says, my life is in his hands. I trust him most of the time. God has revealed the following verses to me, and I am determined to live by them. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging bread. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. Another person wrote me and said, I only joined Shepherd Gate about 6 months ago, but I have some personal observations I want to share. I have been a believer since December 3rd, 1983, and have grown steadily over the years through church teachings, Bible studies, etc. And I learned long ago not to check my brains at the door, but to be wise about what I was listening to. In addition to the importance of studying the Bible, learning God's word, I also learned to apply what I learned and observe others who considered themselves believers and compared to what they said they were. I watched how they lived their lives and interacted with others. I have been disappointed many times over the years with the disconnect between what is preached and how people choose to live. I have observed lack of charity, lack of mercy, and humility that has left me at times hurting and neglected as a member of a number of congregations. When I came here to Shepherd's Gate, it was to hear Luke and Birgit Lee share about the ministry in China. I had been away from my previous church for over 6 months due to concussion and heart trouble, which kept me from fellowship and teaching. And during that 6 months, my disappointment with the congregation I had been attending grew, as they did not reach out to me at all with compassion or caring. God showed me I could not go back. So when I came to hear Luke and Birgit, I decided to return. And though unable to make it always to this church due to my health, I consider this church body my home. My prayers have been answered by God giving me a church and a congregation to be a part of and to be brought back into fellowship. Also, my ministry in the secular arena, especially here at my senior residence over the past 8 years, has been very important in God's calling, and no one in my Christian churches has affirmed that. At Shepherd's Gate, I have felt affirmed by the prayer, financial, and personal support that I received. Your actions, your love, and prayers have affirmed to me Shepherd's Gate is not only a reflection of Christ's lovers, but Christ in action as well. So you, by your actions, have been an answer to prayers. A similar one I got that I got last minute, and it's still online because I didn't have time to print it. Starts out with, Hi Richard, this isn't exactly an answer to a specific prayer, but it's an answer that God knew I would need, and he supplied my needs in abundance. You'll know who this is. When I fell and broke my kneecap, I didn't know what I would need in recuperating from that, so I cannot say that I prayed for anything specific. I mean, who knows, you're going to fall and break your knee. So it's kind of like, oh God, when I break my knee, would you, you know, it just happens, okay? But God took amazing care of me through the body of Shepherd's Gate. Meals were brought. My laundry was done. I was transported to appointments and loved on to an extent that I had not experienced before, and was overwhelmed by the love of Jesus given to me through all of these ministrations. The change in my life is that I want to say yes to opportunities that come my way and return Jesus' love to others. She wants to pass it on. And your loving her motivated her to do likewise. And I think that's really cool. So this last one to me is a summary of the verses that I read before. Spending time in God's word, letting it pierce and change your heart. The one I'm about to read, trusting in the Lord, not leaning on your own understanding. To me, it's all wrapped up in this one. This person writes, I have had significant pain issues for 20 years from fibromyalgia. Initially, I asked God for healing. Then I read a book called A Severe Mercy, explaining sometimes hardship is God's mercy. Because of pain, I was able to retire at age 55, which enabled me to serve others for a time. My spiritual gifts are mercies and helps, and I could still be useful back then. So I stopped asking to be healed. Instead, I began thanking God for his mercy. As time passed, I thought a lot about quality of life. I couldn't find a scripture promising quality of life. Can you? I can't. Instead, not physical. I found God offers his grace, not for tomorrow or next week or next year. Grace for today, for this morning, for this hour. I have been learning to live by his grace. I learned that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. She says, I love being humbled because I need his grace. So, okay, these are in my way. So as several of those testimonies told us, God does not always say yes to what we ask. He has his reasons and his ways are above ours. But even a no or a wait, though it seems hard to accept, gives us a reason to praise. Remember that rejoice in the Lord always. Did we not ask God to heal Emily, Susan, and Dave? We did that, didn't we? And what was his answer to our requests? It was no. God took them home to be with himself, and we believe they're in a better place than here. But still, we on earth grieve and we're sorrowful. We're sad that they're gone for a time. Now, were we selfish to make those requests? Maybe. We are human, and we are created with feelings, and we do not want to give up the people and the things that we love. We don't want to give up Dave and Emily and Susan. But as the writer of Philippians told us, tell God everything. So I believe that includes our selfish requests. Yet even as we do that, if we are trusting in the Lord with all our hearts and not leaning on our own understanding, he will change our hearts. And if our motives are not pure, if they're wrong, if we truly practice the truths of those verses, will not God make us more like himself? And in so doing, cleanse our hearts by the piercing power of his word? He will change our motives to good ones. So again, let me encourage you to spend time in God's word. At the beginning of the morning, at lunch, late in the afternoon, or in the evening before you go to bed. Make it a regular part of your day. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, use a devotional, pick a passage. I don't care how you do it. As the old Nike slogan goes, just do it. You know, or maybe go hog wild and spend an hour or two and study. Wow. Who knows what will happen if you do something like that? You might become an evangelist. I don't know. You know, whatever you do, I'm looking forward to hearing more of your testimonies throughout the course of the year, not just waiting to the end of the year. And I believe that as you let God's word do its work in your life, he'll be glorified and he'll be lifted up. So, bring the team back up here.